Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast. The Timberwolves beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday night behind a heroic down-the-stretch effort from Anthony Edwards and frustrated the Grizzlies in the process, forcing 24 turnovers with a pair of Grizzlies players ejected late in the game. It was a fantastic win for the Timberwolves, shorthanded and all, no Karl Anthony Towns. We're going to break it all down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And this is a victory Thursday. This is the post-game podcast. The Wolves beat the Grizzlies on Wednesday. A ton to get to here on the show. A big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on Locked On Sports Minnesota. That's an app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV, a brand new app with all the Locked On Minnesota shows. So go check that out. Again, Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at my account, which is at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, the Wolves, first game without Karl Anthony Towns. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, reportedly with a calf strain. And the first game on the schedule was the Grizzlies. I kind of matter-of-factly said on Wednesday's show that, like, I was kind of penciling this in as a loss. The Wolves play Oklahoma City Saturday. I forget who they have next Wednesday. I think it's Indiana, but it's another winnable home game. So I was kind of like, oh, they'll go, you know, they'll be 12-12 heading out on the long road trip to the West Coast about a week from now. And maybe they still will be, but they won the game I kind of assumed they would lose. A Memphis Grizzlies team, yes, without Desmond Bane, but I mean, otherwise mostly healthy. The Timberwolves with no Karl Anthony Towns. No Jaden McDaniels, was a late scratch from the game. No Jordan McLaughlin. No Torian Prince. Missing four of their top seven rotation players, their best player overall, their best perimeter defender. And still, they were out-rebounded by 30 in this game. They were out. The Grizzlies had 12 more free throw attempts than the Timberwolves. We'll talk more about that later. And the Wolves still managed to win this game by three possessions. It was incredible, really. Marty Gellner and I talked about this in the live postcast. You can go back if you're listening on an audio platform. It's the episode before this. We talked for almost 20 minutes after the game about the game overall. But one of the things we discussed was the stats kind of defy logic. That it defies logic that the Wolves won this game. If you look at the stats, if you look at the box score, like if you just looked, like the Grizzlies shot almost 5% better from 3-point range than the Wolves. They shot 11 more free throw attempts than the Timberwolves. They out-rebounded the Wolves 59-29, nearly twice as many rebounds, 30 more rebounds. They had 15 more offensive rebounds. The Grizzlies had 20 offensive rebounds alone in this game. The Wolves only had 24 defensive rebounds in this game. And yet somehow, the Timberwolves won this game by 8 points. There's a couple ways we could look at this, right? Like, I know Grizzlies Twitter is going crazy about, like, hey, the Wolves aren't a good team. This is a horrible loss for Memphis. Yeah, that's all true. I mean, the Wolves have not been good to this point. You know, Wolves fans, you can get mad if you want, but they have not been good. I don't think anybody could legitimately argue that. They're 11, you know, below 500 coming into this game, nowhere near expectations. You could say the same thing about the Grizzlies. They were 5-6 on the road coming into this game, a bad road team. Minus, you know, I know they didn't have Jaren Jackson Jr. for quite a while. They are going to be without Desmond Bane now for a little while, but otherwise fairly healthy. And yes, this was a bad loss for Memphis. They were sloppy with the ball, a lot of unforced turnovers. That's absolutely true. However, the Timberwolves executed their defensive game plan extremely well. And that's where I want to start the show today. And Marty and I talked about this on the postcast as well. The Wolves had a surprise addition to their starting lineup with Wendell Moore Jr. starting. Originally, Jalen Noel was announced as a starter, and Finch talked about this decision after the game. Basically, the bench needed the punch of Jalen Noel. It's kind of the same, you know, we see this all the time. It's one of the reasons why Austin Rivers started the last couple games for the Wolves was you want to leave your main bench rotation guys in a similar role so they can keep a rhythm. Jalen Noel's played well the last couple times out. The offense has come back for Noel. Why, you know, push him to the starting lineup, lose the punch off the bench, and maybe mess up Noel's rhythm. Pull a guy who wasn't even in the rotation. He doesn't have a role to mess up, right? Wendell Moore Jr. was not playing. He barely played this year. I think he played in four games, minimal minutes, all garbage time. Plug him into the starting lineup. A long defender, somebody who can hit an open three. Let's see how he does. Have him defend John Morant, obviously a switch-heavy scheme, so it was really a team effort slowing down John Morant in this game. And see what happens. Leave Noel in his role. Turned out to be a genius coaching decision by Chris Finch, and I don't want to lose sight of that, and that's part of the reason I'm starting with this here on the show today is, yes, Wendell Moore Jr. only played 20 minutes. Yes, Jalen Noel played most of the crunch time minutes with the starters. But those 20 minutes were really good, and it allowed Jalen Noel to stay in that bench role and then to play those minutes with the starters down the stretch, allow him to stay in that rhythm that he's been in. And Moore played really well. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block, no turnovers, shot 3 of 6 from the field, picked his spots, wasn't overly aggressive, and I don't think anybody would have expected him to be. Hit a big three-pointer in the second half, had a tough basket he made at the rim. Just a really strong performance from Wendell Moore, and I credit Chris Finch with making the decision to start him. You know, keep Austin Rivers coming off the bench. I know he started the last couple games, but he makes more sense as a bench player for this team. Keep Jalen Noel in his same role. And just do something that the Grizzlies weren't expecting. Put a little bit more length on John Morant. And as it turns out, even without Jaden McDaniels, the Wolves' defensive scheme was extremely strong. I mean, Moore was primarily guarding Morant, but then on switches, Ant ended up with him. At times, D'Lo ended up with him, and it was obviously a bit dicey. Kyle Anderson guarded him a ton. Of course, former teammates, played together the last 3 seasons, very familiar with one another. And the Wolves frustrated Morant. He had 24 points on 20 shots. He did get to the line 11 times, but he only made 6 of his 11 free throws. He had 7 turnovers to 6 assists in this game. And I do want to talk more about free throws and Morant and Dylan Brooks. I don't want to leave the show with that conversation. We'll get there. Trust me. But the Wolves' decision to try and just challenge Morant, try and muck things up, try and funnel him into help defense. It's not unlike what a lot of teams try and do, but the Wolves were ready. And that hasn't been the case very often at all this year. Like, I could count on one hand the number of games where I've said, okay, the Wolves were ready to execute a strong game plan, and they did so. Count that on one hand. And in 22 games, they've done it less than 5 times. Promise you. They did that in this game. They mucked things up for Ja. They funneled him into help. They tried to make him give the ball up. They mostly defended without fouling. I mean, they still committed 5 more fouls in Memphis. And as I said, Memphis attempted 11 more free throws. But grand scheme of things, with the way Ja Morant plays, he lives in the paint. The Wolves were getting crushed in terms of paint points for the first two and a half quarters of this game. And ended up, I think they were actually +4 in paint points, if I'm not mistaken, the Wolves were. So they did a really good job on the game plan. And this really was a team effort. I mean, you could point to every single player that saw the floor for the Wolves. I thought they were all competitive. Marty and I talked about block shots, which isn't something I focus on a ton because I think it could be a little bit fluky and at times overrated. The Wolves blocked 11 shots in this game. Only one of them was Rudy Gobert. Naz Reid had a career-high 5 blocks off the bench in 22 minutes, and a bunch of those came in rapid succession, I think, in the second quarter. Ant had 3 blocks and 5 steals in this game. Yes, he was hunting steals, actually, on one of the final possessions when the game was still close with maybe 3-4 minutes left. It was after a timeout, and Ant tried to jump a passing lane and got beat backdoor, and I don't think the Grizzlies scored on that action. But in the moment, I was like, oh, there goes Ant hunting, you know, trying to get his what would have been his 6th steal of the game. So there's still a little bit of that. But I thought for the most part, Ant competed and was present, really kind of omnipresent. Like, he was all over the floor, not as much middle of the game, but first quarter, fourth quarter. And we'll get into that a little bit more too. And that was a huge part of the Wolves defense, was Ant's activity. Overall, the team executing this game plan, Wendell Moore, fresh legs, you know, length, stick-to-itiveness, somebody that's going to play hard, a rookie that frankly doesn't know any better, right? Like, these guys should all be playing hard, but we know that that's not always the case. And Wendell Moore Jr. played hard in this game too. This was a genius move by Chris Finch to start him, and a really strong defensive game plan as well by the coaching staff. I want to get into a couple more takeaways. I do want to talk Grizzlies, ejections, officiating, all that good stuff. And I also want to talk about a couple of other Wolves observations here in just a moment. First though, let's talk about our presenting sponsors over at Bet Online. Today's episode is presented by BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. The Wolves, I don't believe were favored coming into this game, by the way. They should be favored against the Thunder, which makes me a little bit nervous on Saturday. Of course, they beat the Thunder twice. OKC had a big comeback win over the Spurs on Wednesday night. So we'll see what that line is over at BetOnline. If you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen today. Now for your second listen, go check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, additional takeaways from this game. A quick one, this was weird. The Wolves again flipped the script. For so long this season, they were terrible in the first quarter. Very good in the first quarter. They were actually, I think, the league's best net rating team in the first quarter for the first few weeks, even though they were hovering around 500. And one of the league's worst teams in the third quarter. This was, I think, the third straight game that it was the opposite. The Wolves got off to a terrible start. They were down 11-2 to start the game. It was really only the first 4 minutes. They actually ended up playing a pretty good first quarter. They were plus one, up by a point at the end of the first. And the third quarter was a pretty solid one for the Wolves. So it goes to show that sometimes these trends aren't actual trends and are more just kind of noisy flukiness. I talked about Wendell Moore already. I want to talk a little bit about rebounding. The Wolves are out rebounded by 30 in this game, 59-29. The Grizzlies, they just sent two guys at Rudy Gobert every time a shot went up, essentially was their strategy. And why not, right? With no Karl-Anthony Towns, especially. Like, who else on the floor is going to rebound? Kyle Anderson is your four. Ant is your three. Those guys are each, you know, a little bit miscast as starters in those roles, I should say. Not miscast. That's not the right word. But it's not ideal, right? The Wolves are used to playing bigger, and they were a bad defensive rebounding team anyway. Gobert ends up with one rebound in this game. He only played 26 minutes. He had three quick fouls in the first half, at least one of which was completely bogus, by the way. Also, his fourth foul was a terrible call. But Rudy had just one rebound in 26 minutes. Everyone else, except for Bryn Forbes, who only had a four-minute stint, had at least three rebounds in the game. Rudy had one. Everyone else on the Timberwolves, I should say. Rudy also had four turnovers. He did shoot 4 of 5. He had 9 points, a steal, and a block. So a weird Rudy game because he really did anchor the defense in a way that really only Rudy Gobert can to impact a game like, you know, 9 points and a rebound and four turnovers in 26 minutes. But still come out of the game having a real impact. I mean, again, super noisy and not the end-all be-all, but single game individual plus-minus, Rudy had the second best plus-minus on the team behind D'Angelo Russell. This was just a weird Rudy Gobert game, and it's kind of the quintessential way he can impact a game without doing it in the box score. He was the presence in the paint that he had and the attention he drew was really, really important. Now, the Wolves were still out rebounded by 30 rebounds, so the Grizzlies' strategy worked in that regard. The Grizzlies had 20 offensive rebounds in this game, but Gobert was getting pulled and grabbed and knocked over by Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark and Sandy Aldama. These guys were all being extremely physical with Gobert, and Gobert was the one that got into foul trouble early. Ultimately, though, the rebounding differential didn't end up mattering. You're not going to win many games at all, down 30 in rebounds and giving up 20 offensive rebounds. We've seen that this year for the Wolves. I mean, like, there's a reason that they're a 500 team, because they've been a terrible defensive rebounding team. They've been terrible in transition defensively. Those are the two primary reasons, right? The actual half-court defense, I've talked about this quite a bit on the show. The actual half-court defense, schematically and execution-wise, has been okay for Minnesota this year. It's transition defense, which was better in this game, and defensive rebounding, second chance points. And so this is not a formula to succeed. I would recommend the Wolves never be out rebounded by 30 again. But in this particular game, Rudy just drew all this attention, and the Wolves did a pretty good job in terms of after allowing those offensive rebounds, limiting the second chance points as much as possible. The Grizzlies didn't shoot the ball great, which helped. But the Wolves' rotations were relatively crisp. They were X-ing out. They were helping. They were doing all those little things that they don't usually do, frankly. And that was a huge factor in holding Memphis to just 101 points on 42.5% shooting in this game. Let's talk about free throw shooting. Memphis was a plus 11 in terms of free throw attempts in this game, 30 attempts to 19, but Memphis shot only 18 of 30 at the line. Which direction do I want to take this? I mean, we could say ball don't lie. Memphis did miss, I think, both of their technical free throws or two of the three technical free throws. And then there was another one when Ant committed a foul when the ball hadn't been inbounded. So they got another what's effectively a technical free throw and they missed that one. I thought that that was hilarious, actually. I don't talk about officiating on this podcast very much. And I'm really not going to focus on the actual officiating much because I don't know that it was really all that terrible other than my one gripe. Okay, two gripes. My first gripe is that the first, like most of the first quarter, there were basically no whistles. Like they just completely let them play. And then all of a sudden there's 49 free throws over the final, basically 40 minutes of this game. It was just insane. Just the amount of whistles that were blown. And then also there were like six technicals in the game. Like no, like they're actually more than that because of the ejections. I think there were like seven or eight technicals. It was just too much. I don't actually think the officiating, the calls were that bad. Like Memphis got 30 free throws, Wolves led 19. What I thought was really funny is how upset the Grizzlies were about the officiating when they were the ones with 11 more free throws in this game. They just couldn't make their free throws. It wasn't the referees that caused Dylan Brooks and John Morant to combine for 12 turnovers and only nine assists. That was their play in this game and the Timberwolves' aggressive defense. I mean, it is what it is. Like Memphis got more foul calls. The Wolves committed more fouls in this game. Like, I don't know what they were mad about. I can't figure it out for the life of me. John Morant had 11 free throw attempts in this game, and there were a couple plays where he was complaining for a foul call, and there clearly wasn't. And we've seen that with Ant, we've seen that with Kat. He's not the only one. But to take it to the extent of then getting ejected to try and prove your point, when Ant finally gets a foul call, you know, down the stretch in the game, Ant only had 7 free throw attempts in this game. I mean, Ja had 11. Dylan Brooks had 7 free throw attempts. The difference is Ant made all 7 of his free throws. Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant, they combined to go 10 of 18 at the line. So maybe just make your free throws when you get there. I don't know. It was something. I want to be clear. I don't think the officiating was very bad. I think whatever, the Wolves have shot less free throws. That happens. The funny thing was that it was extremely lopsided. The Grizzlies beat themselves. We talked about this, right? This was a bad loss for Memphis, every bit as much as it was a good win for Minnesota. And both can absolutely be true. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Memphis committed 24 turnovers. They out-rebounded the Wolves by 30. They had 20 offensive rebounds. They got 30 free throw attempts. There's no reason the Memphis Grizzlies should have lost this game by 8. The only player they're really missing is Desmond Bane. They still had Ja Morant. They still had their bigs. Jaren Jackson's back. Still Dylan Brooks, right? So they have no excuse to lose this game to a Towns-less, McDaniels-less Timberwolves team, also missing two of their best three bench players. On the flip side, a good win for Minnesota. They're missing all those guys. They're missing Towns. They're missing McDaniels. They're missing Prince, McLaughlin, four of their top 7 rotation players, including their best player and best perimeter defender, are all missing. So it's also a good win for Minnesota. Both can be true. The Wolves executed a game plan, their defensive game plan. They actually didn't shoot the ball that well themselves. They were 30% from three in this game, Minnesota was. And that was basically Jalen Noel. Jalen Noel and Kyle Anderson combined to go 6 of 14 from the three-point line. The rest of the team made 3 three-pointers. I mean, that's it, right? The rest of the team made a combined 6 three-pointers. So Kyle Anderson and Jalen Noel shot a combined 6 of 14, so nearly 50% from three. The rest of the team combined to make just 6 threes themselves on 27 attempts. So they went 6 of 27. Kyle Anderson and Ant together went, or Kyle Anderson and Noel together went 6 of 13. So, I don't know. I mean, like the Grizzlies shot the ball better. They got more free throw attempts. They had 30 more rebounds. They had 15 more offensive rebounds. Like, again, both can be true. This can be a good game for Minnesota and a bad game for Memphis. We'll leave it at that. All right, I want to close with individual studs and duds and talk about who played best for Minnesota and just take a quick peek at what's next here on the schedule. We're going to do all that here next. All right, let's talk individual studs and duds. So obviously Anthony Edwards gets a stud in this one. He had a good first quarter. I think he had 11 in the first quarter, no points in the second, 1 point in the third. So 1 point over the middle two quarters. And then he scored, let's see, what was the number? He scored 17 of his 29 points in the final 9 minutes of this game. So 11 first quarter points, one third quarter point, 17 points in the final 9 minutes of the game. The final line, though, was real nice. 29 points on 18 shots, 2 of 6 outside the arc, 7 of 7 at the free throw line, 5 assists, 5 steals, 3 blocks for Anthony Edwards, 3 rebounds, only 1 turnover. Played extremely well. Chris Finch talked after the game about how this was one of the most complete games he's played since Finch has been in Minnesota. Since Finch, I mean, I guess he's coached him. Well, yeah, I guess he came in midway through Ant's rookie year. It was a really good all-around game. I thought he was good defensively, gambled a little bit, was going for the flashy plays a little bit, but that's just what Ant does, and it gets him going. Now, the question obviously is, what's the encore look like? 3 nights from now, when nobody's watching Wolves Thunder on a Saturday night, people aren't talking about it nationally necessarily. It's not as sexy as Wolves Grizzlies. Is Ant still going to bring it? Is he still going to bring it, play hard against the Thunder, who may or may not have SGA, like the Thunder, but they don't care. The Thunder had a comeback win over the Spurs on Wednesday, 20-point deficit. They came back and won. Will Ant be able to bring it a second consecutive game with 2 days off in between? That's the biggest question. I'm not ready to do the whole he's grown up before our eyes thing. We did that last year. We did that, I think, one other time early this year when he had that big game. I forget, it was Lakers or one of those games. What happens next? Does this continue for Anthony Edwards? Does he genuinely step up with no Karl Anthony Towns? Does he genuinely step up defensively with no Jaden McDaniels for more than just one game? Or in this case, more than just two quarters of one game? Because we saw somewhat lackadaisical, mostly involved, but not all the way involved, and for the middle portion of this game anyway. So can he do it for four quarters for a second consecutive game? We'll see on Saturday. I'm going to give D'Angelo Russell a stud for this game. He didn't shoot the ball outstanding. A couple shots were a little iffy in terms of his selection, but I thought he ran the offense well. 15 points, 10 assists, only 2 turnovers. He also added 5 rebounds and had a couple of steals in this game. He led the Wolves in plus minus. If you listen to the show, I don't love that individual game, individual plus minus a ton, but sometimes it means something. And I thought in this game, D'Lo actually did a really good job. And it was important with no Jordan McLaughlin. I mean, D'Angelo Russell played 37 minutes and Austin Rivers played a little backup point guard, but D'Lo played along with Jalen Noel for a lot of minutes. He played along with Wendell Moore a lot of minutes, and both Moore and Noel brought the ball up the court a little bit. But generally, D'Lo played well. He had a couple tough passes he gave Rudy Gobert again. But for the most part, I think that chemistry is growing, and D'Angelo Russell had his pulse on this game, or had a pulse on this game. I thought he was really, really good. Jalen Noel is the other one. 24 points on 19 shots. He was trigger happy, as always, but to the max in this game. He actually led the Wolves in field goal attempts, and he was, fifth in minutes in this game for Minnesota, and he led the Wolves in field goal attempts. I guess he was fourth in minutes because of Gobert's foul trouble. 9 of 19 shooting, 4 of 10 outside the arc. We'll take that every night. 2 of 2 at the line, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, only 1 turnover in 31 minutes for Jalen Noel. And again, 24 points, second on the team in scoring, first in field goal attempts, first in made threes. And good all-around game from Jalen Noel. Active. Same thing as D'Lo. A couple shot attempts that weren't maybe the best shot selection, but you take the good with the bad when it comes to Jalen Noel, and he was mostly good in this game, and I enjoyed watching him as always. No duds in this game for Minnesota. I mean, Rudy didn't have a great game, but again, he had some gravity in terms of the glass. He did a lot defensively that doesn't show up in the box score. Kyle Anderson, not a good shooting night. He was 1 of 7 on 2-pointers, missed a bunch at the rim, but he had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block, only 1 turnover, and made 2 corner threes at big moments in this game. Nobody really played badly. I think all nine players that saw the floor for Minnesota had a good game, had a well-rounded game. Brent Forbes only played 4 minutes, but I mean, like, nobody deserves a dud in this game. This was a good win for Minnesota, no matter what Grizzlies Twitter tells you. Wolves fans know, after seeing what this team has done, even just the last three games, this was a good win. They may not be a good team yet. This was a good win for Minnesota. All right, next is the Thunder. That's Saturday. I mentioned this a couple times. The Wolves have two off days in between. And then after Saturday's game, they actually have three off days, the rare three-day break in season that's not the All-Star break. So, and by the way, Marnie made this point on the postcast. They're at home this whole time, so they can practice in their own facility at Mayo Clinic Square and you know, be at home, sleep in their own beds. 2 days off, Thunder Saturday, 3 days off, Pacers next Wednesday night. And then they go out for a 5-game West Coast road trip. I guess they finish in Oklahoma City, which isn't exactly West Coast, but a 5-game road trip nonetheless. Utah, a couple in Portland, the Clippers, and then at OKC before coming back home for another nice homestand. Pretty interesting schedule coming for Minnesota. Two games they really should win, even with no Cat. They should beat the Thunder. They should beat the Pacers at home on 3 days rest. We'll see if they can keep up this energy and what they were able to do against Memphis on Wednesday. So, of course, we'll have Friday show. We'll preview Wolves Thunder a little bit on Friday show as well. If you're not subscribed or following the show, please do. A big thank you to those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen each and every day. It is absolutely greatly appreciated. If you listen on Apple, please go ahead and help us out with a review. And hopefully it's a 5-star review, and hopefully you have some positive comments to pass along as well. Or wherever you listen, please help out with a review. Subscribe on YouTube. You can also watch on Lockdown Sports Minnesota, the app, on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T Wolves. Don't forget the T, and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And thanks again for making us your first listen. You can make your second listen the Locked On Sports Today podcast, from the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports. Go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.